Welcome to the second ever Fragnet interview. We have a guest you may remember if you were an old school Quake player. For the interviewer now gets interviewed, give it up for TC of MechaWorld and Daily Dementia fame. MechaWorld was a gaming website that was briefly popular in the mid-90s for hosting Doom, Duke Nukem 3D, and Quake maps and mods, while Daily Dementia was a very early internet podcast, starting about March of 1998. One of our staff members, Xylemon, took an interest in TC while browsing the Wayback Machine and our favorite game site, Blues News. Thanks to a tip from a friend, Xylemon learned that TC was running a record store just a reasonable driving distance away. After hitting up his email, we wound up visiting TC's store, Rock This Town Records, where TC agreed to do an on-site audio interview. It just blew our minds that this worked out. After so many dead ends or people unable to talk about history for perfectly valid reasons, we found another great guest willing to let us pick at their brain and document some history for you all. This all happened way back in January of this year, and let me tell you, editing an interview can be a daunting task. During that process, we got back in touch with him, and he gave us 40-plus episodes of Daily Dementia. These have not been uploaded elsewhere, and probably have not been heard in almost 30 years. Included are interviews with some of the guests mentioned, like Tom Hall, Jeff Keighley. Be sure to check out the archive.org page. Thanks a lot, TC. Anyways, after months of editing, transcription and research, we are just dying to share our interview with him. So please enjoy this trip down memory lane as we talk gaming along with web history. Enjoy.
This is a special interview for Fragnet, our website. Today we are going to get demented, you know, because we're going to talk with, if you don't mind me calling you TC.
No, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
TC of Daily Dementia fame. You're also behind, if I'm correct, was it MechaWorld?
Yeah,
as
MechaWorld,
well?
Yes. And I Daily, would be, yeah. And then once a month I would get threatening emails.
Really?
You'd probably guess why.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a cool name, and then...
Yeah.
You know, and then, yeah.
It is a cool name. And also, you now own this awesome record store known as Rock This Town Records, right?
Yeah. So it's been a fun ride.
Yeah. So let's start off. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
That's always a tough question for everybody. So
yeah.
I was once hitting the swing with an once hitting the eye with a swing. So and there was blood flowing down. But this was like when I was like 6 or 5. So
yeah.
That's the and then my love of blood and Doom and everything. Quake and then. Move forward, so, but yeah.
Have you always lived in Arizona, or?
No, when I was doing the Daily Dementia, I'm a Minnesota boy, so
coming
out of the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Did you move here because it's just not as cold, or just out of curiosity?
So, yeah, a little bit of a long story. I met my wife online before it was
really?
Kind of taboo to do that. It was like
99,
she asked a question. We
were
part of a Def Leppard mailing list.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day of the mailing list. Well, everything was old back then, whether it was the Daily Dementia and Real Audio and stuff like that. And then we ended up connecting, and then I moved to Arizona because she was in Arizona, but it was up in Prescott. And then we moved to Colorado Springs, and then we moved to back to Minnesota, and then about 7.5 years ago, we moved here to Phoenix again.
Oh, that's cool. That's
because
really
I was tired of the cold. I love the snow.
So, next question. I was going to ask. So, how did you get into computers? Do you remember? You remember what your first computer was, by any chance?
So I was fascinated by I think it was the Atari 400.
Oh, okay.
It was one of those early Ataris that had like this weird keyboard on it. It wasn't like a real keyboard, but it was like a tactile keyboard kind of.
Back when they made those rubber keys and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was kind of it. And then I really wanted an Apple II.
Oh yeah.
That was like the computer to have when I was growing up. And I thought, there's a box under the tree. It's Christmas of 80 something. And I open it up, and it's a Tandy computer.
Oh, man.
And my mom says, the guy at the store said these were better than the Apple computers.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, but I still use the Tandy. Oh, I wrote some code on it, and I used like a little old school cassette player to save everything.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Anyway, so yeah, that's how I...
You remember what computers. Language it was by any chance?
Just it was like, just basic. It was print, go, go sub, go to, all that good stuff.
It was literally basic.
It was basic. And that's pretty much the extent of my coding skills. I know a little PHP and a little HTML.
Same here.
Because with Mecha World, that was all HTML. That was all just, you had to build that out manually.
Oh, yeah.
And then I found something called HomeSite that was really cool. So
that was actually going to lead me to my next question. I was going to ask you, what got you into the internet? Do you remember, did you start off with bulletin board or Usenet, or did you join when the World Wide Web happened?
Yeah. I once, it wasn't really called FTP, telnetting or something.
And yeah, there was university. Gopher.
Yeah, that, Gopher, yeah. Which was out of, which was from the University of Minnesota up there.
Oh yeah, really?
Because the team name is the Gophers.
Oh
the
my God! I never made that connection before. That's really neat.
But yeah, I wasn't using Gopher. I was Telnet, or I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
but into the University of Chicago. This was early, kind of not maybe early '90s, mid early '90s.
Yeah.
And then there was Prodigy and all these places, CompuServe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was on message boards and stuff
that. Okay, cool.
And then in 96 started the Mecha World website around, because I loved, we used to play in Minneapolis, we used to play on Duango. You ever heard of Duango?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, out of Dallas. So it lets you connect in to a local hub and then play Doom or Duke Nukem or...
Okay.
Games like that. I was never that good.
Hey, it's okay. Never was I.
Yeah. A friend of mine built maps for Doom and Doom 2.
That's awesome.
He called them the condiment wads. There was the salsa wad and the ketchup wad and the mustard wad.
Oh, that's really cool.
And then he did a bunch of Quake ones, too. And then I also wanted to build a map for Duke Nukem 3D, because there was, when it would be entering Hollywood Holocaust. And back at the time, Mariah Carey was... really hot. And really hot, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And so I always wanted to make a map called Mariah Carey. So when I would load it would say, now entering Mariah Carey.
Yeah, the build editor.
So remedial, but so fun.
Oh, yeah. And the build editor was really intuitive, too, because it was real-time preview-ish and stuff like that for the time. So real quick, I was going to ask you, do you remember what gaming rig you rocked at the time when you started Mecha World at all? I know it's going really back.
I think it might have been. It wasn't anything special. I had a Packard Bell that I used for the Daily Dementia.
Oh, okay, interesting.
It was a terrible computer. it was terrible. But I think the computer I had was probably it was a Gateway.
Yeah. Okay. Gateway.
I guess Gateway still exists, right?
I think so.
With the cow logos and
stuff.
Yeah,
I know
box.
The box and. Long time
ago. I don't remember what it was. I think I was all jazzed because it was I got the computer and a buddy of mine helped me set it up. He really wasn't a buddy. I don't know why I needed the help to set it up, but it was kind of new to me and he was kind of an expert. So, and he was like, I don't know why you need 2 megabytes of RAM or whatever. And he's just like, I paid for 2 megabytes of RAM and he thought that was just so overkill.
Really?
Yes.
I knew the day would come.
We've gone from megabytes to gig.
I know. It's insane. It, with this neural network stuff, not even 32 is enough sometimes. It's insane. This would lead into Mecha World. What were some of your favorite games back then? You mentioned Duke and Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine was playing Doom, and I was fascinated by it. I'd go over to his house and watch.
Yeah.
He also loved, he was kind of the influence on me there with Sam and Max Hit the Road and stuff
that.
Oh,
really? That's cool,
Really OG
Lucas
stuff.
Arts,
the LucasArts stuff. So he started playing Doom, and he was playing it on a Gravis gamepad.
Oh, really?
Not mouse keyboard.
Really?
So
wow.
I whenever I'd watch him play, I'd get motion sickness.
Oh,
and then shortly thereafter, which was great because Doom comes out and then 9 months to a year later, Doom 2's already out.
Yeah.
There wasn't waiting like we have now.
Oh,
for,
I know.
12 years for Grand Theft Auto 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
But
Quake seemed like it took forever to come out back in those days. Games would take 2 years or whatever.
I know. So then I picked up the Gravis gamepad, and then he finally gave up the Gravis game pen, especially when we started playing on Duengo.
Yeah.
And then he was just owning me constantly. And I'm like, I can't play on a Gravis game pad anymore.
Yeah.
I need to do mouse and keyboard. And then, yeah, so, I mean, Doom, Duke Nukem, I loved Warcraft, Zug.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing, so.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then there was, like, old school games, like a text-based game that I still love to this day. It's called World War 2000.
Oh, okay.
Mutants attack, and you're basically, it's just the most frustrating game ever, but.
Yeah.
I think it would be a fun game if somebody actually remade it. And it'd probably just have to be a text game, but it's just so frustrating because you always get killed in it so fast.
Yeah.
You build up a gang and you get vehicles and then you loot and you rob and you try to take control of towns. And it's just a kind of a fun game.
That's awesome.
And there's other games that I just don't remember, unfortunately. There was one game that I really loved, but I for the life of me, after all of...
Was it like a platformer or something? Or?
I loved Mario, I mean,
yeah.
But and I love some of those 3D Major Striker, 3D Realms games,
yeah.
Major Striker, and there was another game that was really cool. But these were kind of like early, really early 90s games that I'm thinking of, that there was no online component, you just played it, but it was super fun, but I don't remember what it was called, and I don't remember really how to describe that game. So that was kind of pointless for me to talk about.
No, it's okay. It's still interesting to hear about, you know, there's so many games. There's games that we still are kind of just rediscovering because they just kind of got lost in just translation of so many games that came out.
Yeah, it's like music, right?
Exactly.
There's so much music that bypasses you, and then eventually you roll back around to find that, Kanye West is pretty good. Pink Floyd's pretty good.
Yeah. It's a good thing people start documenting all this stuff, too.
Exactly.
What was some of your favorite websites? I know you mentioned Blues News and Voodoo Extreme. I know this came a little later, though, after Mecha World, I think.
Yeah,
or around
probably
the same
time. I don't even know what sites I went to. I don't know when Blues News... I think Blues News might have started in 95, maybe?
He recently said that he hit... It was 96. He had his 27th anniversary. So.
Okay, because Mecha World started May 6th. Of 1996.
Yes,
I'm really good remembering dates.
That. Yeah.
And then, but before that, I mean, I don't know what was out there other than maybe like the IGNs of the world or the GameSpots, but like independent sites. I mean, the redwood.stomp.com, Sean Martin.
Yeah.
And then I don't know when like Steve Gibson started. Shack News, I guess it's called now.
Yes,
right?
Shack
Scary
News.
Sugar Shack.
Yeah, that's what it used to be called originally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shack News is actually still around today.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, they do pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think Steve has anything to do with it. I think
probably
left.
Not. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. Can you tell us anything about Billy Wilson and Voodoo Extreme?
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
The first time I talked to him. He's like, when I invited him on the Daily Dimension, he's like, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to him. He's like, I got some corn going in the background. I hope you don't mind. And at that time, I was still maybe really influenced by the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
But then I also loved, you know, the Metallicas and the 90s and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had no idea that he was referencing the band Korn. And I thought to myself, why the hell is he telling me he's got corn?
Exactly.
I thought he was like making corn in the background.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, so that was kind of a little fun story. And then he obviously had the brother, which was...
Yeah, like a younger brother.
Sweet Dick.
Yeah.
And I had both those guys on the show one time.
Yeah, that's a really cool episode, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
I've seen that one, yeah.
Yeah. And then, Billy was really just a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And
so, like, Voodoo Extreme was, like, a really popular site back then, though. Like, it was... Like, I know it sounds kind of stupid to mention this, but we have to. Like, you can even see in, like, a 3D Realms, like, employee screenshot, they just have Voodoo Extreme just open in the background and stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah, because Billy just was a wordsmith. He was just so good at what he did.
Yeah, especially the blahs.
Yeah,
whatever
the blahs,
he has.
Yeah, that was.
I guess he kind of, like, invented what we call microblogging.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to think about.
And then Blue did that a lot in recent years. So.
Yeah, I think Blue took inspiration. From that.
And then there was another guy who I think had a falling out with Billy, maybe another guy named Alex, who was one of the writers there.
Yeah, there was some internal conflict.
Alex started, what is it, Sharky's Extreme or whatever?
I think that's
but
what
I don't
it
remember
was.
Alex's last name. And then there was another site that I was friends with, Amir Ajami, who had Cyrillus 3D.
Yeah.
Along with Craig, but I don't remember Craig's last name. And then Amir went on to, you know, build games for EA and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, if you look up Amir, A-M-E-R, and then Ajami, A-J-A-M-I. A really cool guy. I had him on the show a lot. He was a fun guy to talk to. Just like Tim Tibbetts from 3D Files back in the day.
And eventually
they sold that to, I think they sold that to ZDNet.
Yeah, ZDNet.
That got purchased by CNET.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
And then, what else? There was, oh yeah, and then he started Major Geeks, which he still has to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, Major Geeks, yeah.
But yeah, Billy was a really sweet guy, really nice, and, but I don't know that much about him.
That's fine.
Yeah, unfortunately. We talked, but we just, you know, we weren't close, but we were friendly.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, thank you. It's just good to get some type of confirmation about some of this stuff. So
yeah.
Because you look online, the most you can get just is, we remember Billy, and it was a cool guy, but, it, you know, right. We need a little bit more of, like, how important was Voodoo Extreme and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I love that site, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was probably, with all due respect to, like, Blue, Steve Heslop at Blue's News and Sean Martin.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite site to check
for
news every day.
Totally.
In that world. I would probably, when I was doing the Daily Dimension, I would basically go to his site and steal all the stuff. You know, whatever I want to talk about. Oh, Voodoo Extreme is going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool. Well, thank you. I was reading about Mechaworld. You said on the About that it started off as like a Duke Nukem / Doom fan site?
Yeah, I guess that kind of that Duango community, we wanted some place to, like a little file archive, almost like 3D Files, but just dedicated just to, like, Doom maps. And it had the fact that my friend Eric was making, you know, the condiment wads and stuff like that. And I don't know if there was a lot of Duke Nukem maps out there that you could download. I just think that was kind of more of a closed platform by 3D Realms, wasn't it? As where it had opened up Doom.
I think they opened up the built editor, but it took Doom was like right away just people figured out how to make stuff for it.
So it was like basically all the Doom wads and then Doom 2, and there might have been some like Warcraft maps there as well.
Okay.
And then when Quake hit, we kind of tried to have as much, but then it just got too much. I mean, as far as like file size and the cost to host it and stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you. So it kind of started as a little site for you guys, but evolved into like Mechaworld.
Right.
And I know there was CDROM.com, and then File Planet came up sometime after that, right? I was going to ask, was there a lot of other sites like, or was Mecha still kind of unique in that regard?
There was probably other sites out there, but maybe I just didn't pay attention to them, so I wasn't aware of them.
Yeah, I getcha.
And then Eric, who went by Funny, like the top, I think this is probably still searchable somewhere on the internet, the top 100 Quake maps of all time or something. He wrote that article up.
I think some old Quake sites will have that. I'll mention like a little proudly. We were a top 100.
Yeah. So like the top 100, well, not Quake sites, Quake maps.
Yeah, maps. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Interesting. What was it like running a site like back then, especially if something were file hosting? Was space and bandwidth always a concern?
Bandwidth wasn't bad. The bad part was when I started doing the Daily Dimension.
Oh, yeah?
Because those files were, the real audio files were pretty huge, and the MP3, and now, if you think about it, it's a 20, 30 meg file.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's nothing, but back then, it was... It was like downloading, 300 gig now.
Oh, I know. Well, we only had like 500 gig hard drive, or 500 meg, sorry, 500 meg hard drives and stuff back then.
Right, yeah.
You know?
So I think that was the, and then, I worked with Mechaworld started, or shortly thereafter, it was a little while, and it was just a labor of love initially.
Yeah.
I worked with some company, maybe out of Florida, I don't even remember their name.
I know.
Providing advertising, but they were just like doing weird advertising and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just like you know, oh, here's an ad for a douche product on a gaming site. You know, it's just they were just selling, you
that
know,
really early flowers 90s.
And
that early 90s, just throw anything, see what sticks.
Exactly.
Advertising. Yeah. Because my next question was going to be, so I saw that one of your sponsors was, I think they're called, Imagine Games, and I guess that was IGN.
Yeah,
later.
That's true. Yeah. That was IGN. Yeah,
so that was IGN who was showing the douche products.
No, it wasn't IGN.
Okay,
it
was good. We should clarify that.
Some other weird company. Like Florida or something.
And then you partnered with IGN.
I guess, Imagine Games. I think they recruited. They were recruiting sites because I think they had so much inventory, and back then it was like $30 CPMs. Yeah. So I'm like, sure, and I don't think much of it.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, 2 months go by, and all of a sudden I get a check for like $6,000, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Because CPMs were just gigantically high, and even if they were taking 50%, I didn't think it would be much.
Yeah.
And the traffic it was traffic, but it was but the CPMs being just so high, it was insane.
That's crazy.
So I'm just like, okay, that seems cool. So now I'm like, oh, I got some extra cash, and now I'm going to start my Daily Dementia show, basically.
Yeah.
At that point, 98, so then I'm trying to figure out how to do that, so to speak. And I went to school for radio, television, broadcasting.
Oh, really?
And worked in radio and stuff. But, you know, building something at home was different. And then I had to get an ISDN line.
Oh, yeah.
Which was tremendously expensive as well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that great, but still, it was just like, well, I can say I got an ISDN line.
T1s and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it wasn't bad. But that was like $1,000 a month. I was paying like $150 for like $128K.
Yeah, God. That's insane.
Yeah, so.
That's a good segue into. So, I guess you could say Daily Dementia was kind of like one of the first examples, an early example that we call a podcast now.
It was,
right? Did you. Do you know where you got the idea or what it exactly led to it? Because I know you said you had Mecha World and that kind of led to it, but do you know exactly what sparked it?
It's kind of the history and just wanting to do radio and broadcasting and stuff.
Just personal interest.
Yeah, and I don't know if I really followed anything else out there. I think there's a guy named Scott Rubin.
Yeah.
He might have been doing something called the All Game stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know about it at the time, but Adam Curry, formerly of like MTV, had started
doing,
I think, a podcast. And I think he's kind of credited as like doing one of the first podcasts.
Okay.
But, I figured, with real audio, if you can stream audio, like why can't you just stream like a little kind of type of show?
And
that's what I did. And, I really wasn't looking at it. I wasn't stealing anything from anybody.
No.
I was just kind of looking at what I wanted to do and just kind of did it.
You might actually be like one of the first 100 podcasts that ever came out.
It might have been,
It could be. It's kind of crazy to think about, you know?
Right, I know. And then Apple obviously made it mainstream, like 6-7 years later?
It's funny, I'll get to that later. I have a question about that, interestingly enough. That's pretty neat. And the follow-up question to that was, do you know how many guests and episodes you did? Do you kind of have like a rough number?
I did it pretty consistently for like a year. And I would say at least 4 episodes a week, just on average.
Oh, wow.
So maybe there's 200 the first year, and then the second year, maybe it was less. So maybe it was only 2. So I guess maybe in the neighborhood of like 300 episodes, if I had to guess.
Interesting.
And then bandwidth was. Yeah, that was the hard part. So that's when I went to IGN. Well, actually, I went to IGN with the idea of doing it. Imagine Games.
Okay,
Imagine Games. And then they changed their name to Snowball, which everybody made fun of, and then they changed their name back to
they
IGN.
They called themselves Snowball at one point?
Yeah, they did. And that was when the Kevin Smith movie was relevant. I think it was Clerks.
Yeah, Clerks, yeah.
I think it was that. It was anyways.
And there's Dogma at the time.
And then there's the snowballing thing where.
They should have seen that one coming.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
So I asked them if they could host because I think they had some real audio hosting and stuff. And they're like, sure. And then, at the time, it's probably you know, you compare it to now,
like,
say, Joe Rogan or whomever else is out there.
Yeah, I know.
With as far as downloads per show, but like the id Software show, I think, got 12,000 downloads.
Crazy. A huge
a lot back then. And bandwidth was so expensive, and then IGN eventually, they didn't know, they didn't think to monetize it, I guess. I didn't think to monetize it,
because
I was a little naive there.
Well, you're just doing it for the fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then eventually they're like, after about a year, they're like, yeah, you need to find somewhere else.
Wow.
And then there was another company, I don't remember what it was, GameStats, I think?
Yeah, that I saw something about that, this GameStats. I was going to ask about how that tied in. So they started hosting or helping
They started
out.
Hosting the show.
Oh, okay.
Then eventually it just kind of went away, because I took a job with the company that would start MySpace, and then...
Oh, wow.
And then ended up doing a kind of a different kind of podcast with them.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Just since we're still on it, what was your favorite guest or episode? Do you have any highlights? Like, what was one of your favorites?
I always liked when Amir was on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I have an affection for Amir. He's just such a good guy. He could do Simpsons voices really well, as I see the Duff beer hat on your head.
Oh, yeah.
So he was always a fun guy.
Well, who did he do?
He did, like, the comics store guy. And there was a couple other voices he did. Apu.
Oh, okay.
And, But Amir was probably my favorite guest. And then, I mean, it just basically the show became my favorite guest eventually. It was just, it was just him, Tim Tibbetts from 3D Files, Major Geeks, and then Jeff Keighley.
Yeah, okay, Jeff. Yeah,
Jeff was
on
usually once a week for a long time. Then he got all big and stuff
at
the Game Awards because of Jeff Keighley.
I know. That was back when he did Game Slice. That's what it was called.
Game Slice, Editor at GameSlice.com. Jeff's a great guy, but I haven't talked to Jeff in probably 20 years.
Yeah.
So. Well, I do have some audio of him and me and Amir pretending we're shipping... Daikatana.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the other game that Romero's company did? It was like, what was the guy's name? Hall? Deus Ex?
Yeah, Warren Spector, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Warren Spector, and then who's the guy? There was another guy.
Tom Hall.
Tom Hall, yeah.
I saw you also had Tom Hall on there, too. From
Did I once?
Yeah. Oh, well, okay.
The only guy that Romero never came on.
So, oh, he didn't? Okay, I was going to ask about that.
He promised to, but he never did.
Oh, that's too bad.
Carmack never did.
Okay.
But I certainly understand that. Todd Hollenshed, when he was the CEO, he just kind of, Carmack referred me to Todd.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, that's fine, I understand. And so, obviously, Carmack's gotten... Carmack, does he do many interviews? He does, I guess, a little bit.
He actually...
He's become a little more active, like, on social.
Yeah, if you poke him on Twitter, he'll tell you whatever. He'll spill his guts. But he did, like, a crazy long 5-hour interview with, like, Lex Friedman.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's fun. And then I tried to get... Mark Rain would come on the show anytime from Epic.
Yeah, I think I read that one.
And Cliff Blazinski was a really fun guy to talk to because he had a sense of humor.
Okay.
I once called him my Bobo, and he didn't know what that meant because it was a Simpsons kind of from Homer, or not, Mr. Burns is Bobo.
Yeah.
He's my Bobo, and he's Cliffy B's like, does that mean I'm your bitch? Or And then at E3 one year, I tried to get, why am I drawing a mind blank? He's the guy that runs Epic these days.
Oh,
the
programmer. Tim Sweeney?
Tim Sweeney, yeah. And he's like, all right, I appreciate it, but he just didn't want to talk. And I guess he knew of me, which is always nice. And obviously, the whole Fortnite thing. And the,
I know.
I love his battle with Apple, though.
Oh,
I'm glad they're just hammering Apple.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Yes, that's great. But I love...
You had someone from 3D Realms, I think, as well. You had
Joe Siegler. Yeah, Joe would be on a lot, too. He was very surly.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that about Joe. But yeah, he was a really good guy. And he loved himself some Whiskey in the Jar by Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
That song. And then a friend of mine who's no longer with us, he passed away like 9 years ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. He was the Monkey 3 guy. So I did this little bit called... I don't know, it was maybe April or May or June or something of 98, and Bullion Base Entertainment, with Lyndon Carr, had invented the first 3D outdoor engine.
Oh, wow.
And it was just this whole big... And my friend was a little... He wasn't like short a couple marbles. He just had a unique way of speaking and the way of presenting things. So it sounds like he's completely crazy. But you also think that, well, maybe this is true. And then I did some editing to make him just a little more crazy. And I get an email after I post that show almost immediately. He's like, from Jeff Keighley. And he's like, this isn't real, is it? And so many people were emailing saying, this guy, you got to watch out for this guy. I think this guy's using you and stuff. And I thought that was so nice. And then you get people that would email me, oh, you suck, you know. And just like,
yeah.
And then usually I just respond with, yeah, I kind of do, don't I? It's unfortunate for me. And then most people would write back if they said something like that. Oh, yeah, I didn't really mean that. I just meant that one show. You know, you're cool. And, you know, just like. And you kind of embrace their attitude and usually turns and stuff.
That's good. You turn it around on them like that.
But yeah, as far as a guest, like from the gaming world, I really enjoyed talking to.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's probably Joe from 3D Realms. The first interview I did was with Scott Miller, and he thought it was a text article. He thought it was, he thought we were just recording, and then he like sends me an email after I post it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't know that this was going to be an audio interview. I'm like, oh, sorry. And then that was the same day. So the same day I posted it was April.
Well, I hope you know this one's an audio interview.
Yeah, I know. The first day I posted it was, I get an email from Scott Miller saying, the first show of Dementia, saying, I don't know, I'm getting an email from Jeff Keighley because he was a big 3D Realms kind of bobo. When it come to 3D Realms because they love Jeff. He's like, hey, if you ever need me to come on the show, I'm like, sure. I hadn't actually heard of Jeff at that point. I investigated who he was, and I'm like, oh, he's written this stuff. This is cool.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm always looking to fill time, you know, on the show. So. But yeah, so.
Anyone from Valve ever or anything?
No, I never got anybody from
Sierra
Valve.
Or anything. They were kind of weird about the interviews.
I mean, there was... Like Baldur's Gate, Ray, what was his name? Dr. Ray Muzarek or something like that. And there was other people like that, but yeah.
But I was going to ask you, I guess just to cap off Daily Dementia for now, was there anyone you were really wishing, I know you mentioned Tim Sweeney, but was there anyone you were like, you just wish you were able to get and it just never worked out, just for whatever reason? Was there anyone you're just dying to have on there?
It was probably Romero at the time because, Tim Sweeney, you know, his profile has become legendary over time, and Romero's is...
But he was still kind of in prove himself mode.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It was probably Romero. That was the one that I was... And then Gabe Newell, of course. I think I tried to get Gabe times, but it just never came to... And I was a big Half-Life fan.
Oh, yeah?
And then Counter-Strike. I was like 0.4 or whatever when that came out, or 0.6, whatever like the first release was.
Yeah, we have all the boxes and everything. Yeah. Big Half-Life, Quake, Duke. Yeah,
I still played Left 4 Dead last night. Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, yeah? I love playing that. Oh, yeah, it's a great game.
So, yeah, I'm kind of a Valve fan and then a Rockstar fan on the consoles.
Okay. Oh, yeah? Okay.
I love me some Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah, great game. Yeah. Great game. So, what was the end for Mecha World, I guess? That was, I guess, the question. What was the exact... Do you remember how it kind of happened?
I know that Imagine Games, Snowball, whatever, I think they were ending their partnership program.
Yeah, you
mentioned that. Maybe because CPMs were going down and down. It wasn't $30 CPMs anymore.
And they didn't like Daily Dementia took so much bandwidth or whatever.
Oh, yeah, and I had to leave that. But I think that was fine with them.
That was always its own kind of separate thing at some point, Daily Dementia. Was it first hosted on Mecha, then went separate?
Yeah, it was always kind of part of Mecha World. But then the hosting, the real audio kind of thing.
Yeah.
The bandwidth was taken care of by Imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, I think it was that, and then coupled with the fact that I knew a guy who worked at another site, And he was going to work for a company called Intermix.
Okay.
That had just reverse IPO'd out of Connecticut, or like it was like a reverse they bought.
Yeah.
It was called E-Universe, and they bought a motorcycle company out of Nevada.
Oh, wow.
No IP to do kind of like a public offering, a reverse public offering, I guess they call it.
Interesting.
And they were moving the company to Los Angeles. I was still in Minneapolis, and or the Twin Cities. And then so I've been talking to this guy, and then another guy that worked with me on Mecha World, and this was just kind of one of my writers, and he had done some programming and design, like logo design and stuff. He was like, geez, when I was working with him then, he was probably like 13 or something.
Wow.
I didn't even know how old he was, because you know, you don't really think to ask people their age, you know. Just like, here's a guy that's like sending me logos and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's cool, thanks.
Yeah.
So his name was Rick, and he was, and it turns out, well, yeah, I didn't even know that until I got hired by E-Universe, because I kind of wanted to do that stuff, but they were cool with me, because that's when I was about to move to Arizona.
Oh, okay.
So I was going to move to Arizona, so I'd just be off-site and come into Los Angeles every once in a while. So it was kind of like a combination of things there. And then this Rick guy, who was sending me the logos and did some work on the site, turns out that he had been hired by them as well. He was 15 then.
Crazy.
Dropped out of high school.
Oh, my God.
But he was just kind of like, I mean, they really put together some serious talent at that place. There was a guy named Adam Gold. Oh, yeah, Adam had a site. He had the gaming site.
Yeah.
I forget the...
This is all part of E-Universe or whatever? Or?
No, he had a site before. I think that he sold to E-Universe.
Okay.
So Adam had a website that he'd started out of St. Louis, and he was going to be the, like, I forget. I mean, anyways, he was going. It was like he was like 18. He was going to be like a CFO or a CEO, but kind of running a department himself.
Yeah,
because he was a really smart guy. And then Rick, he somehow knew Rick, and Rick, he had hired Rick.
Yeah.
And another guy named Lorian, and another guy named Marco.
Yeah, okay.
And we ended up doing that thing. And the first 6 months I worked there, I really didn't do anything.
Oh, really?
Because I kept asking for stuff to do, and they're like, well, just... So I started building out this podcast called E-Universe Live.
Yeah.
And had, like, celebrity guests on it, and then took over a website called Mad Blast that ended up just blowing up around the whole 9/11 thing, because we were doing kind of cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like Flash Files, Flash Tunes and stuff.
Yeah. Was this part of the site I learned about called Breakplay or whatever? Or was
Was just some other side project that myself and Eric, the crate guy, the condiments lot guy, did.
Oh, okay, okay.
The
mustard and ketchup guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. And then, Adam went on to, then there's this whole thing with E-Universe where they bought the company that Tom and...
Yeah.
And, what's the other guy's name? I don't remember his name. Yeah. From MySpace. So
yeah.
Everyone those two guys. Tom, and then they started MySpace, and then that blew up, obviously.
And that relates to E-Universe. That's crazy.
Yeah, because E-Universe owned that.
Wow.
Then they sold that to News Corp.
Wow.
Fox.
Yeah, that's insane.
And then after that, Adam like went off to start another company. And if you've ever heard of Fabletics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Adam's company.
Okay, okay.
It's a huge company in that.
Wow.
Kind of that in the what is it? I don't know. Apparel industry.
Yeah.
And then Rick worked there. The other guy worked there as the CTO for quite some time, and then I think he kind of retired already.
Man.
But anyways, I'm kind of going on a tangent here.
That's fine. It was just interesting because it's just interesting to learn more about E-Universe and some of that stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Did you Did you do the E-Universe Live podcast long, or was it kind of like a spiritual...
It was maybe like about a year, and then the whole Mad Blast thing kind of took off.
Yeah.
They were like, we have this site called Mad Blast, you want to run it? I said, yeah. And then Rick, in his spare time, even though he had the day job,
yeah,
doing other stuff, like product-driven stuff, with there was like a kind of an entertainment side of E-Universe and then a product-driven side.
Oh, okay.
One of the product-driven sides was something that was a little scammy called Get Paid Driving.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Basically, you put like stuff on the sides of your car.
Oh, wow. And
stuff is like sponsorships.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, and yeah, there's a lot of stories about
it. Oh, yeah.
But
they were trying any advertising stuff back then on the internet.
But yeah, so, and then they're like, can you run this Mad Blast site? And then that kind of became popular because I had one programmer, artist, so we'd talk every day, and we'd come up with these crazy ideas. The Michael Jackson baby drop game was one of them when Michael was
doing the weird thing with Blanket or whatever.
Yeah, it was Blanket, yeah. And yeah. I read an interview, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, not 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, where Michael Jackson said, he didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
He said, whoever did that was like the worst person in the world. And I'm like, well, at least I never hung my kid out the window.
I know, yeah.
Among other things, but yeah. But yeah, so that was...
Whoever that guy is. Yeah.
And then Mad Blast was doing really well, and then they wanted to start a game site called Game Rival, and they're like, hey, can you run this too?
I think I've heard of that one, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was able to get a bigger budget, and then the guy that had been doing the Flash tunes for us, on Mad Blast, we started making the games as well for Game Rival, and then I met a guy named Danny Glover, Danny Glover.
No, yeah, I was going to say.
And he was just an adorable kid, and he made Flash games, and
okay.
Then we made this game called Goldminer.
Okay.
Hit really big.
Really?
And we were selling like $20, kind of not shareware versions, but like full download versions. There was like a web version.
I don't know why. That does kind of ring a bell.
It was selling like 10, 20,000 copies a month or something like that. I don't know. It was just insane.
Yeah.
And then,
I'll have to look that up. That sounds vaguely familiar.
And then we started doing games.myspace.com.
Oh, wow.
And we were just kind of got everything implemented, and then MySpace, the hierarchy there, unbeknownst to what we were doing or on our side of things, decided they were going to partner with like Wild Tangent. I think it was Wild Tangent, some company like that for games.
Interesting.
Maybe because they probably made them an offer.
Probably.
That was just more lucrative, I understand.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so.
That's really interesting, though. Wow.
Yeah. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah, getting called out by Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. And then another thing that I worked with an Australian company, and they did the Bin Laden, Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide, based off
Banana
Boat song. So that was huge.
Yeah.
So like in November of 20, I think it was November of 2001, Mad Blast was like the 19th most popular site on the internet.
Wow. But that's crazy. I remember that Flash, the television.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun Flash stuff. We did we did a Wild Bill one.
Yeah.
And we stopped doing that. It's like Tom, in this case, a guy named Tom Shirley, did the animations and stuff. He would animate, and I would write little scripts of like Bill Clinton. It was like the Bill Clinton Show. It was Wild Bill.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Hey everybody, it's your former president. It's Wild Bill, baby.
Oh, that's not bad.
And he liked to smoke weed, and we did six of those, and it was kind of blowing up, and then 9/11 happened, and it just seemed like maybe we shouldn't do these right now, and we just stopped doing them. Some of them are up on YouTube if you want to search for them.
Yeah.
Search for like Wild Bill Show.
Well, that's crazy because, when you were mentioning, when you were doing the impressions, I'm like, wow, it kind of sounds like what he was doing.
But I think it's just the audio. I could not find, I was really good at like archiving everything, but I could not find the actual videos of them because Tom made the Bill's nose look like a, So it was like, yeah. But it was pretty good. It was fun. It was fun doing that. And there was like a takeoff on Jay and Silent Bob with him and Al Gore. And
yeah. I guess you brought this up earlier, and I actually had a question about this. So I was curious. So I think it was like 2001 or something. Apple, they made iTunes. They released that as a big deal. Yeah. But they made this other big deal about podcasts and how they could be RSS'd and all this
like
stuff.
2004.
Yeah,
right around there,
like that.
2005.
Yeah.
It was a little later.
Yeah, something like that. And I was going to ask you, did you ever think about getting back into it because of that? Like with Daily Dementia, or were you kind of done by that point? Or
I did. I kind of relaunched. I soft launched Daily Dementia like in 2004, I think it was.
Yeah, I saw you had like an episode in 2005
Mark,
or something.
Yeah, there you go. Mark Rain came on
from
Epic Games.
Of course, yeah.
And then there was some woman producer who was producing some Playboy game and stuff
that. Okay.
And then there was a couple other shows, and I think Amir came back for an episode.
Oh, that's cool.
And Tim Tibbetts. Jeff by that time was like,
yeah. I'm famous now.
Yeah.
I talked to Valve and
behind the game. With Valve.
Yeah.
No, it's cool.
Oh man. Going back to Daily really quick. So you tried getting back into it, but when did it end, I guess, formally? When was the full end, I guess, of Daily Dementia?
I don't know. I might have done something again in like in the late 2000s, but
okay.
I don't know if I ever got anybody involved. I wanted to do it, and then when I start doing it, I'm just like, nah, I'm past this.
I getcha.
And I don't know.
Totally fair.
Yeah. It was just like, it was fun, and
Yeah.
It was memorable, and it's just like, nah, just not me anymore.
I getcha.
Yeah.
That was kind of my next question into that. But yeah, you enjoyed it. You had a good time with it. And
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. It was super fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed doing it.
I guess just from my perspective, I think it's just really interesting. Not just because it's not only like a really historically, if you don't mind me saying, historically interesting podcast, but it's just kind of neat some of the guests and people you had, you know.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of audio interviews of a lot of those people and stuff, so especially like Billy Wilson, you might have the only audio recording of him, if you think about it. It's kind of weird.
That's true. Know? And there should be another one. So there's the one with him and his brother, right?
Yeah,
Is there another one online?
No, I think
the one that I did solo with him. And I don't know.
I haven't seen that.
I don't know.
That, no.
That's probably on one of those Spark drives.
Yeah, I would love to get that sometime and look at that.
Yeah,
that
was really cool.
I guess going on, if you don't mind me asking, so you own this cool, what we've been doing in the interview here, in this cool shop called Rock Distown Records. Can you tell me a little bit about it? How you got to, what made you want to open this, if you don't mind me asking, or how it led to this? I'm assuming other than you love music, you know.
I do. So there's two things. I got tired of standing in line at record store day.
Oh, yeah.
You go to other stores, you're going to wait in line for record store day, so let's open our own record store. Then we can just, the titles will flow in.
Yeah.
You know, as
yeah.
far as like the record store day, which happens this year on April 20th.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's an interesting day.
Cool title. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be something scented, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing was that, you know, I've worked from home for 25 years, and I wanted to get back out into kind of the public, even though that sometimes is scary, I suppose. But
yeah, no kidding.
I like when Jen and I moved here from Minnesota, you know, a lot of the people I know, one of my best friends, had passed away like 9 years ago. So it was like, and then my family is kind of, I'm an only child, so it's like, so let's get Jennifer home where she is from, and then maybe I'll be able to meet some new people that would come to my funeral. That was one of my jokes I make.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to wait in line at record store anymore, then maybe somebody will come to my funeral because I don't know anybody down here in Arizona when I moved down here. So it was good to kind of meet some people that weren't on the internet.
I'll go to your funeral.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully it's not next week, but
I hope it's a long time from now. Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, and then and it's just you meet a lot of cool people. I had some young guy come in the store. I think it was the day of our 1 year anniversary, and he's like,
oh, yeah.
Are you TC from the Daily Dementia? And it was just like, oh my God, it's so weird. My wife still is not over that you came in and said that.
Oh yeah.
You recognize the voice somehow.
You can totally hear it to this day.
Sweet, yeah. Soothing, sensual, touchy, oh, yeah. Erotic.
You have a good radio sounds. Voice, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah.
So
I never thought that. I got fired from my first job in radio because I hated my voice. But back then, you ever seen the movie Private Parts by Howard Stern?
Yeah.
Where when he first starts out, he's like, "Hey, everybody, it's Howard Stern." I had that as well.
Oh, okay.
"Hey, everybody, how you doing?"
Yeah. No, you have a good natural speaking voice. I think it's good for the podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, that's nice.
It also helped
Rainier that Wolfcastle would be proud.
It also helped that they were on the phone and you also had a real microphone too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that. I guess I should interject this real quick because I that was one question I was going to ask is with Daily Dementia, how did you get contact with guests?
Geez, I don't even remember. There was something. It was like almost like a mini blogging. It was like a Twitter thing back in the day.
It wasn't like a mailing list, right?
No, it wasn't a mailing list. There was like some, it was like Ping or something.
Wow, I've never heard of this. That's interesting.
It was something that people use. So it was, and then, or I would just, you know, once you get that first, you just blind email somebody.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people didn't really care to, it wasn't a big deal to have your email address because nobody was really spamming back then. So it was just like, put my email, you know, be like,
yeah, I was gonna
it would
ask
be like, here's the profile page and Scott Miller, 3D Realms, president,
wow.
Scott at 3D Realms.
Yeah, you'd never get that today.
Yeah,
you know?
It might be a phone number there for him. But there was some weird service. You try to dig into that
Ping
game developers
or whatever?
Used. I could have swore it was like Ping or something like that it was called. And they would post like little...
Oh, you're talking about Finger?
Finger, that's
what
it was.
Finger,
yes.
Yeah.
Ping, Finger, I was close on the ING.
Yeah, Finger, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Finger.
Yeah, actually, I still have a friend who's still Fingers today, believe it or not. I know, that was always a joke. I'm going to go Finger John Carmack, you know?
I didn't know that still existed.
Yeah, because it's just a Unix program, essentially.
Oh, okay.
And all it does is it reads a text file from your home directory. That's really all it does.
Oh,
and it just
okay.
posts it to a website. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it's a real simple thing, but yeah, no.
I think I got some people from that, too. But yeah.
Yeah.
And then once you get to know enough people,
yeah.
you can say, hey, do you know blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I know. Let me give you his email, or let me introduce you.
Yeah.
And yeah, since I was kind of, there was a guy named Kevin something, the Captain Emmy guy. Have you come across him?
I don't know. He doesn't sound familiar.
Kevin, he did the Attack of the Show on like G4
oh,
TV.
Oh, that guy. Oh,
Kevin Pereira.
Yes, Pereira.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So I think he was, he wanted to be me. And so so he started the show. I think it was called Captain Emmy. I think he was called Captain Emmy.
I didn't know that he went that far back.
Yeah, but this was probably in 99.
Yeah.
And then I got wind of it. Somebody sent me some stuff because he was like,
I don't
like
want
making
the
fun of, you know,
I
was
teach you
from
the
Daily Dementia.
Wow.
And so I found the clip and then cut it and put it in the show.
Wow.
Because I don't really care if somebody's doing that. So
there you go.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think
no.
And then he did some weird show on one of these channels. I don't know. I ran into him once at E3.
Yes.
I'm like, hey, yeah, hey,
yeah.
It's not, and he blew me off.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, well,
wow.
Whatever,
that's
fine. That's cool. I don't care.
I guess just to wrap up a couple quick questions here. So how did you choose the location for Rock This Town? Just why Gilbert, just out of curiosity?
Well, we lived in Queen Creek. And
oh, okay. Well, that explains a lot, yeah.
And everything there is new.
Yeah.
And everything is rented by dentists. Dentists
yeah.
have like taken over retail spaces.
Right,
so many.
Right over there.
Well,
yeah.
But this is kind of a. And we were supposed to actually be right next to the. Across the street. We were supposed to be right next to the School of Rock.
Oh, wow.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
And we had everything done, everything signed, waiting for the owner to sign it. But he was using us, apparently, to get a deal with some kind of wheelchair place.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, that's
well,
a,
I guess
so
it's a wheelchair place. Well,
but it would have kind of been better in this area, perhaps?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, so, yeah, that guy did us dirty, so, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then so we're like, well, kitty corner, and okay. And is it the best location? No, but we don't have to deal with the riffraff that comes with malls or walking malls or stuff like that. So, because, you know, like theft or stuff like that. I mean, ideally it's limited here. If somebody walks out with a CD, you know, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't
It's hard
happen.
To steal a record.
Yeah, it really is. I guess they earn that one if they manage it.
Yeah.
You mentioned this earlier, I'm curious. So what was your first concert?
Night Ranger at the Minnesota State Fair.
Oh, man.
Night Ranger. You ever heard of Night Ranger? Sister Christian, that was kind of their big hit, but they were more of a rock band.
I don't know them, I can't say.
It's like Sister Christian, oh, the time has come. Something.
Yeah, I don't know. If you play it, I might know it. I don't know that one off my head, though.
But they were a cool kind of two guitar band.
Okay.
And this just happened to be their kind of their big hit.
Was that before they were big or after they were big?
No, they were big. They were fairly big, but then Sister Christian kind of
evolved
into another. It's like a motor in.
Yeah.
You're probably too young for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. Okay, yes.
I wasn't going to see him for this song, but yeah, there was a lot of other deep rock cuts that were really good.
Yeah, okay.
There was a really good guitarist in that band. So.
Yes, I know exactly who this is now.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, no, yeah. That's cool. So you're okay with telling us some of your favorite bands or musicians or...
Well, Jen and I met because of Def Leppard, so I have to say Def Leppard.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
I'm a child of the 80s, so Van Halen.
Yeah, yeah,
kind of maybe a lot, some of the hair metal stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Scorpions. I don't know if Tesla, Scorpions maybe, but yeah. But I really have found, opening the record store and starting to recollect records like Jen and I did, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you find just, I mean, like, I hated Pink Floyd in the 80s.
Really?
And I kind of love Pink Floyd. Yeah. Not like the early stuff. It's a little weird, but.
Yeah.
And then Kanye West, I kind of dig on. Lana Del Rey, I've gotten into lately.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then just all kinds of stuff. Even in the, Audio Slave,
Yeah.
90s bands. I like Korn now.
Were you ever in the Ministry or anything like that? Or is that too hardcore?
No, I never really listened to Ministry.
No industrial or anything? Or
Nine Inch Nails a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Fair enough.
I was wondering if you guys are
ever into, since we're back here, I'm just curious, were you ever into Devo or New Wave? Or
I love, so there was like two schools of New Wave, I feel.
Yeah,
there was like Pure, Depeche Mode, and New Order.
Yeah.
I was more of the U2, NXS, Duran Duran.
Oh, yeah, I get you. Yeah, they kind of retroactively call it this now, but it was kind of like Dark Wave was the more serious,
sad.
And that evolved into industrial.
The Smiths.
Yeah. The Smiths. That's a great band. Cool.
Would you like
Gracie? Anything else you want? Any other bands you wanted to mention? Or I don't mean to interrupt you. Or
no, that's cool. I mean, I like everything.
Oh, I get you. I
mean,
feel
I
that.
I even love to post Rebecca Black's Friday once a year. And because it's so wonderfully, awesomely bad.
It is in a way, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I get you.
You know Friday, right, Audrey?
What?
Friday. You're gonna get something on Friday?
Oh, yeah. It's funny, I think it's not. It's Thursday, unfortunately.
It is
Can't
Thursday,
play Friday
yeah.
today. With all that being said, are you still a gamer? Do you still play games? I know you mentioned Left 4
Left
Dead,
Dead,
so I kind of know
last
that
night.
Now.
I play City Skylines.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
I started playing Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, okay.
The other night, I updated it on my Xbox, and I saw that I hadn't played since January 19th of 2019.
Wow. Yeah.
So it had been 5 years, because I got that and Red Dead Redemption. I got Red Dead Redemption at the same time, and it was just like, forget about it.
Yeah.
Nothing's better than that game. And to this point, I think Red Dead Redemption 2 is
greatest game ever.
Oh, yeah.
I know the online thing was a little hinky at first, and then unfortunately, Rockstar's not supporting it anymore.
I know.
I loved Counter-Strike. I so many hours in Counter-Strike.
Oh, yeah.
Now I try to play Counter-Strike, and it feels like it's a completely different game from, back in the beta days.
Yeah.
And I get it, and now it's like, yeah. It's every game gets more complex.
Oh, yeah.
As it gets older. And it's just like, the simple games are still always the best.
Yeah. Oh, did you ever play TF at all?
Little bit.
Yeah.
It just wasn't my game. I was more of a Counter-Strike guy.
Oh,
by that time.
Yeah.
And then I Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, I love CS.
I love the game Tribes. You ever play Tribes?
Yeah, I never got to play it, but I know a lot about Tribes. Yeah.
Love that game. Skiing and just, I was surprisingly good at that game. I don't know how I was, but I was surprisingly good.
Tribes was actually kind of like the TF2 Valve never made for some reason. I don't know why.
It was an outdoor engine.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Like Monkey 3, the...
Yeah.
Abuyan-based entertainment game I was talking about that we faked.
So tell me, where did the origin of TC come from?
Yeah, so there was like this game called Strat-O-Matic Baseball.
Yeah.
That I played. It's like a board game. Initially it was a board game where you'd shake dice and stuff and recreate baseball seasons based off of, whether it was like the 1965 season or the 1987 Major League Baseball season. And there's a kind of a big following for it. You got to be kind of a sports nerd. I love baseball.
Yeah.
And then one of my teams named, in a league I was in, was called TC Dementia. I think it was Twin Cities Dementia.
Yeah.
And then when I joined Dewango, my name, I just went with TC Dementia.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't put in like anything longer, and then people would call me TC.
Yeah.
And then when I started the show, it just was a natural thing to just do TC.
Why dementia, by the way? It's funny or
Simpsons reference.
Okay.
So in an episode, I think the Michael Jackson episode, Lisa says to Michael Jackson, even though obviously he's not credited in it, you're a credit to dementia. I love that word.
Oh, that's great.
So
that's
everything great. Ties back to the Simpsons and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, so it really does. It's funny I wore the stuff hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell our readers or listeners?
I'll see him in the emergency room.
I hope not.
Uh-huh. No, I don't, I just, those were kind of the glory days, and I wish I had more stories about, Billy.
Yeah.
Voodoo Extreme. I really like talking to Sean Martin from redwood.stomp.com. No idea whatever happened to that guy. Then again, he probably doesn't know what happened to me either, so.
Yeah.
Not that he's ever thought of me. And then Blue always seemed like a good guy. I mean, these guys would always... whenever I'd post a show, Blue and Scary at the Sugar Shack, and Sean Martin at Redwood and Billy,
they would always
post stories that, hey, Joe Siegler's on the show, or Todd Hollinshed's on the show.
Yeah, God bless Blue, because his archive is so great. You get a pretty good outline of Daily Dement. You can find your first show. Well, you can't download it, but you can find like the post about it.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Like
okay,
yeah,
cool,
like
yeah.
Yeah. No,
and he'd occasionally take a shot at you. which is fine. I probably deserved it.
You never know. I was gonna say, did you guys ever Quake DM or anything like that back then? Or?
No.
I heard that Blue. I think it was actually in your interview. Apparently, Billy said him and Blue would duke it out in Quake and stuff. Yeah.
Did you ever talk to Steve?
Like on a more casual level.
Oh, okay.
I would like to actually interview him if he's okay with that or something.
I think he would be good because he's kind of the Bible at this point. Because
I know.
He's been there so long.
Oh, I know. He's also a pretty down-to-earth guy. He's really nice.
Yeah.
So, I always like Blue. So,
yeah.
No, I just wanted to say thank you so much. It was a great interview, and would it be cool with you? Could I get, like, a Daily Dementia sign-off or something like that?
That was, I'll see you in the emergency room.
I guess so.
But, yeah.
Could I hear you using that voice? Could you be, like, Fragnet, the epicenter of PC gaming? Could I say that, maybe?
Sure. Fragnet, the epicenter. This is basically the epicenter?
Yeah, the epicenter.
Yeah, I'm going to say epic center. Fragnet, the epicenter of PC gaming.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
Right, cool.
It was great doing this. I really appreciated it. So,
Audrey's standing over here thinking, what the heck is going on?
And that's a wrap. Thank you, TC, for your patience. It was a wonderful and fascinating experience. If you live near Gilbert in Arizona, then please give his shop, Rock This Town Records, a visit to help get a record adopted into a good family today. Plus, you can chat about the good old deathmatch days. And thank you, the reader, as well. We hope it was worth the wait, and that it was an enlightening experience for you as well. Till next time.